Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, Sutra 24. Anadir Ananta Parameshvara Shaktivat. Because it is the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The material nature has neither beginning nor end. Summary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. The avidya prakriti originates from the primal potency of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the non-sentient objects may be called beginningless and endless, like the jivas. Still, the reality of avidya cannot be compared with the eternal reality of the Supreme Lord, because the reality of avidya depends on the autocratic will of the Supreme Lord. In the Smriti Shastras it is said, please know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His material energy are both beginningless. But being energy is dependent upon the Lord, so still it will be subservient. Srimad Bhagavatam 111, it is said, O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because He is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and He is independent because there is no other cause beyond Him. It is He only who first imparted Vedic knowledge into the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By Him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. As one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of Him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, though they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon Him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon Him, for He is the absolute truth. Many scholars categorize the time among absolute and eternal objects, but this is not so. The following sutra explains what the time is. Sutra 25. Kalo narta nartan taram badhanam prakriti sambandha rupatvat. Time can be defined as a form of relation between the fallen souls and the phenomenal nature. The purport of scientific knowledge is to categorize the reality under some common characteristics. The purport of scientific theology is to categorize the reality under some common characteristics and to minimize the number of the ultimate principles. Unnecessary increasing of the number of these principles is not at all reasonable. Therefore, the author of this book has accepted only two such principles, sentience and non-sentient, spirit and matter. In his book, Bhakti Sutra, the sage Sandilya also accepts only these two principles as objects. The major categories are one, spirit, and two, matter. There is no third. Right, because the soul is also counted in spirit, though it's inferior. Right, or if you know, Does that make sense? So therefore, there's a very clear delineation, right? So the Lord, the spiritual world, the jiva, you'll take that as spiritual because it's beyond the material. Then there's material. So that's, it works as a very easy method to categorize it, everything. Yes.
The categorization also indicates what angle we are dealing with the subject matter.
Yes. Yes.
That it wouldn't be the relationship between the jiva and Krishna, but the relationship between the jiva, Krishna, and that matter.
Yes. 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 Because without the matter, then it doesn't have. Even we understand our relationship with the Lord, then we're within the material phenomena, so how to function within that in relationship to the Lord. But the point is it's also in relationship to the Lord. So then, you know, that's the common point. It's not something. At the same time, is because of it being avidya and the soul being full of knowledge, therefore, then there's nothing here. So the common point of interaction is the spirit and the supreme spirit. Like matter is something completely separate. So for us, this is what's important. In the spiritual world, then matter isn't even a consideration because, you know, they're only dealing with the Lord and interacting with the Lord. So his energy is being fully engaged in his service. So there's no need to identify matter that's not being, or let's say, yeah, or something that's not being engaged in his service. There's no need because that doesn't happen. So you either have the Lord and his potencies interacting favorably, or you have that situation in which that's not happening. So that's the material nature. Right? The jiva identifying with the material energy, therefore it goes on. As soon as he doesn't identify with it, then there is no such phenomena for him. It's just inferior energy. Summary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. Right, so time is action. Right, so he's saying it's the relationship between this fallen soul and the material energy because they'll interact based on time. And that's why the jiva's time and false ego, that is the glance of Mahavishnu. That's what impregnates material nature. So without time, there won't be action. Right, without false ego, then the jiva won't be able to function in a capacity separate from the Lord. Right? And without the jivas, then what's the meaning? No activity will go on. The time has been often explained as the influence of the Supreme Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26.16, Lord Kapila explains. The influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is felt in the time factor, which causes fear of death due to the false ego of the deluded soul who has contacted material nature. And so everything's in one sentence. So the soul, the false ego, then therefore time is felt. Right? So the time creates this fear of death because there's always the end of something. So you're trying to finish before it's over. Right? So it's the false ego that will be the driving force because we identify with it, so therefore we want to, you know, accomplish something or do something or experience something. But if it's understood is that there's no real connection, then time is not fearful. Right? It's just how the interactions work. Like you have that story of the very hairy sage. Heard that?
Yeah.
No.
Very what?
Very hairy sage.
Okay. Hairy
Krishna. Yes, he's a very hairy Krishna. So, I think it's Puranic story. There's this very hairy sage. Very hairy, right? You know, so a lot of hair. And one hair would fall out every end of lifetime of Brahma. And when all the hairs on his body has fallen out, then he'll die. Right? So he's just sitting on the bank, you know, the river, just in the forest, and somebody says, why doesn't he create some shelter, something to stay in, instead of just being outside and being exposed to the material nature? So his comment was, life is short, you know, so why should I waste that time when I could be, you know, absorbed in the Supreme, right? So that's the story of the very hairy sage.
Yes.
After the life of Brahma, I think. That's what I heard, life of Brahma. It may have been a day of Brahma, whatever it is. Yeah, it's long, whatever it is, it's going to be long. Yes.
So Maharaj, the time, this pushing of the Lord is actually his mercy on the ignorant, that he always somehow let the false ego not be permanent.
That's one, yeah, you could take it to be a sub. It's not the major element of when we say the mercy of the Lord. Because creating the phenomena that the living entity can, you know, try to, you know, enjoy himself or find some meaning to his existence separate from the Lord, and at the same time create the facility that not being satisfied with that, then he can understand the Lord and come back to him. Then that's his mercy.
Because he says, the atheist I call unto death.
Yeah. But that's more there. That's true. But in here, the context is showing what's the essential point in somebody's focus. You know, meaning that for the atheist, then he knows God is death, because he may say all he likes, but they're always afraid of death. So then, yes, then it's time. But specifically that's mercy, I guess you could say, is because then they would understand that there is something supreme above themselves. So you could say the whole material pastime is his mercy. But in specific, then mercy is generally taken as a kindness, and in that context, so that the Lord creates the material phenomena as his mercy. You know, that he gives the living entity that opportunity that they want to try to enjoy separately from him. He gives them the opportunity. But the specifics within it are just the reactions, reciprocation according to their surrender to the Lord, or in this case, the lack of it. Does that make sense? You know, it's like we were discussing this morning. It's just what framework you would use for what example or situation is they should match. Because here it's an emotional, mercy is considering the emotional, the relationship. So here it would say it is, but it wouldn't be the context that one would consider mercy so much. Though it is, of course, that by this and eventually become frustrated with their atheistic ideas. And at some point then they have to take up some form of theism. Right? You know, it's does that make sense? So it's said when the living entity gets tired of gross materialism and thinking that that's, you know, the purpose of life, and when giving that up, he absorbs himself in the concept of liberation, you know, then when neither of those becoming afraid, then he takes up monotheism. So you could in that way say it's a mercy. But it wouldn't be in the context of previous verse where it's talking about mercy being the manifestation of the positive experience of the quality of mercy. You know what I'm saying? It would be a manifestation, but this is a detail that it comes to those particular individuals in that form. Does that make sense? In other words, there's the quality itself, and then when it's applied, like we were saying, love, when it's applied to different situations, it takes on different qualities. You know, like love applied to economics creates greed. The manifestation is greed. So in this way, then, it will be more of a chastisement or, you know, a correction that they are having these ideas, but still, you know, then death takes his death is supreme. So the quality is the last element remaining. You know, when all other forms and all that are gone, then that still remains. Does that make sense? The conditioned soul to identify with matter afraid of his divine influence, time. The time is manifest due to the relation of sentience with matter. At the absence of the jivas, who would have realized the existence of nature. Just another one of those senses where I'm not getting it right.
Who would have realized this?
No, at the absence of the jivas, who would have realized the existence? It's
logical. Okay, no. At the absence of the jivas, it should be a comma there.
Yeah.
Who would have realized the existence of nature? Means if the jivas aren't there, then nature would never be realized because then it would only be atoms. So it's unmanifest, so who would even notice its existence? Right? So only with the jivas being there, then one realizes. Like that. So his point is that it's a relationship between the jivas and the material energy that therefore time is manifest.
But isn't it only in the case of the conditioned jivas, because a liberated jiva would see the spiritual nature there?
Yeah, but then we're not counting that as time. Because on the spiritual platform, time is serving the Lord. So it simply creates a context of past, present, and future, though technically there isn't any. Something's eternal. Does that make sense? If somebody's eternal, there is no future or no past. It's always existent. So in the material world, then there is past, present, and future. So it's manifest in this form only because of the living entities being in connection with the material energy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I mean, like in the context of the vision of the jiva who's coming into the material world, or the jiva going out of the material world, the vision would be different, right?
Because they're looking at spiritual time.
Exactly.
But that's not of here. We're discussing the time that's in the material phenomena, because this section is about the material energy. You know? Because here you're taking it that you know, in the five principles, then you have karma and time. So karma is the only thing that's temporary. Everything else lasts. But he's pointing it out that it's time is not beginningless like and endless like the Lord and his energy. You know, because we've stated that the material energy is beginningless like the Lord. So, but it's temporarily manifested, but time in this form is only manifest when the jiva is here. Right? So it's a phenomena of the material existence. It's not its own separate principle. So he's trying to avoid it being established as its own principle. Does that make sense? So he's working on this thing because you can have the ones where you have, like Gita uses five principles as the basis, but here he's just using two. So that means time is present, but it's part of matter. Right? You have spirit and matter, so time here would be part of matter, just like karma would be part of matter. Right? And then matter is, of course, you know, matter. Then you have the jiva and you have the Lord. So that way you get all five, but time and karma are absorbed in in the material. And the jiva is part of spirit. Does that make sense? So he's just taking it back to the really fundamental. Does that make sense? So this way, it's just like in all these groupings of numbers, it's not that all the same elements don't exist. So this concept that there's a contradiction or there's a difference of opinion. No, it's the same thing. It's just how you're categorizing. Does that make sense? So here, you're taking those five and categorizing as two. Right? So spirit includes two, matter includes three. Or you could have them as five, but some will take it beyond that. Then it gets confusing. So here, for the discussion, it's very clear. There's spirit, there's matter. Yes.
So it's basically how you name the parts of the one. You can name it in five parts and two parts and others of one.
Yeah, but it's also your purpose. Like here, he's just trying to establish a clear distinction between spirit and matter. Right? So there's the jivas, who are the inferior, who are non-different from the Lord, because the Achinta Beta Beta Tattva has been applied specifically there. Right? But at the same time, is there is the element that the energy is like the Lord, so it's always been there. Right? But you're not bringing out, because the qualities aren't going to be the same. The jivas it is. The jivas are like the drop of water from the ocean, not the material energy. Like that. Is that?
Could we see this division of two because of Upanishadic view, like Vidya or Avidya?
Yes, yeah, and Upanishads don't generally spend much time on discussions of that which is in between, because it makes it be confusing, right? Because when we're talking about what's in between that could be either way, that's where the confusion comes up. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's easy. It's very direct, straightforward. So it's a very clean discussion. Now, when you're going to apply it, you're going to have to understand all the five parts.
Is it always the purpose that determines which grid of analysis?
Yes, it's what you're going to use. Because here, if you're trying to establish very clearly the living entities and their relationship with the Lord, this works very good. Right? If you're trying to establish how they're going to practice that, then the five works very good. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
So he's taking and showing the time, like the manifestation of Paramatma, just here because of our...
Yeah, but the point is because he's putting in matter and spirit, so he's putting it within the realm of matter. Because it'll only be manifest because of matter. You know what I'm saying? Because his point is matter being beginning is like the Lord, being one of his energies, it's not that it's not everywhere. If it's Brahman, it's everywhere. But the point is it's unmanifest. Because the living entity that interacts with the Lord, seeing everything in relationship to the Lord, then the Lord's energy is going to manifest as internal. Right? But if he sees the Lord's energy is not in relationship with the Lord, it'll manifest as material. Right? So that means technically the matter and spirit are everywhere. But the manifestation of spirit is in three quarters of the cosmic creation, and the manifestation of matter is in one quarter. You understand? But they're all pervading. But it's just, this is where it's manifest. Because you're dealing with the same person. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, you pick up something dirty, you pick it up with one hand and kind of hold it away. And you walk. So it's not everywhere, you know, so it's the same person, but this part is the clean part and that part's the not so clean. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that, is that it's everywhere, but it's of no consequence in the spiritual manifestation because it only manifests when you deal with the Sarup Shakti, not in connection with the Lord. So then you understand? So that time factor is only manifest when there is the material phenomena, which is due to the jivas interacting with the Lord's energy as separate from Him. So then the forms manifest as material energy, as opposed to spiritual energy. Do we understand? The internal potency and the external potency and the jivas are manifestations of the Sarup Shakti, right? Or the prime, what is it? Primeval, what is it called?
Potency.
Primal potency, right? The chit potency, the Sarup. Does that make sense? So there is the internal, the external, and the jivas. Right? So that manifestation, then these are specifics. Right? You know, so Hladini, Samvit, Sandhi, these are specifics of the spiritual. Goodness, passion, ignorance are specifics of the material. Does that make sense? You know, so this is taking, I say, the all-pervading and the oneness to an extreme beyond, you know, anything that the materialist, spiritualist, or religionist can deal with. You know,
time is not all-pervading.
Time is only manifest when the jivas interact with material nature, because then you require time to run it, because the jiva is not running material nature. Material nature is dead matter, unconscious matter. So how would it do something? So that means the Lord's potency is time, is what is the interface between the living entity and the material energy that causes movement. Right? Does that make sense?
Time is the Purusha aspect of the material energy,
You can take. Yeah. I mean, that's why you see, like, the Buddhists, and they have, you know, they have Shiva, Parvati, and time. Yeah, yeah. At least the Tibetan, I think.
So Shiva is often described as
can, because the point is Shiva is the transformation of Vishnu that deals with the material energy. He only deals with his internal potency, but the actual interaction of the external is Shiva. But still, the source of the potency is the same. It's still coming from Shankarshan. Does that make sense? It means, in other words, as defined before the Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva, to be able to appreciate all these seemingly contradictory things happening at once with no contradiction, that's when it becomes resolved. If it's, you know, if it's this or that, then you can't resolve these, because they're simultaneously one with the Lord and they're simultaneously different. Right? That's the point. His inconceivable potency does this. So that's one of his potencies, the inconceivable potency that holds these things together. The contradictions, right? The tatasta holds together spiritual matter and spirit. You know, so he has all kinds of interesting potencies doing their work. There's one woman, okay? Now, is there more than one woman? Standing in the room, you have one person, and it's female. So there's one woman, right? Okay. Now, when her father walks into the room, then what is she? A daughter. Okay, he leaves. Now, her husband walks into the room. Now what is she? Okay, now he leaves. Now, her son walks into the room. What is she?
Mother.
Okay. Now, let's say all three of them are there in the same room at the same time. So what is she?
All three, but differently.
Yeah, all three. But the reason is the interaction. So there's only one there's one God, there's one energy. You understand? But depending upon how she's interacted with, that's how she manifests. So Maya means is when she's dealt with, not in connection with the Lord. So she manifests the interaction with the living entities from the inferior energy, which is all-pervading. And it consists of atoms, right? These all-pervading atoms, right? So that's there. You know, but if they interact with her on the transcendental platform, then she's manifesting the internal potency, right? Now that these two can all be at the same place at the same time is because you have the tatasta shakti, right? So it's not a problem for her that you have the material atoms and the anti material, is that the matter and antimatter particles are the same place in the same time. But depending upon how you relate to her, she manifests through one or through the other. Right? So just like how the interaction will be manifest with the Son will be different than it will be with the Father. Right? You know, like that. So you're dealing with one person. So that's her. She's the one. The matter itself is the non-conscious aspects. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Let us say you're touching something that's pleasant. You know, you can use your finger, right? Let's say you have to move something that is not pleasant. You might use your nail. You know what I'm saying? It's still you, but it's not conscious. So you don't mind dealing with something that's not clean. You know what I'm saying? So therefore that manifestation of the potency of the Lord is according to how you're dealing. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that the matter is Mayan, how can it be the person and not person at the same time, and who is what? It's a matter, it's the same person. Right? Same potency, but it's subdivisions of the same potency. You know, you're saying, you know, it's just like, I get very enthusiastic. Yeah. But it kicks in, it's kind of like that, you know, that, I forget what it is, but it, like, it starts out as goes, you know, like that, so it's like,
Hare Krishna.
I guess it's a chant to get purified and get enthusiastic, and then at the end, it's like, you know, I'm sure if it continued, then start a kirtan and just go the whole thing, like that.
Since it was divided into two main categories, right, and matter.
Because these are manifestations. Yeah, means you'll find the transcendental and the non-transcendental. Because here you make these two distinctions, then from that, then you can deal in however many ways you want. But you would make these two distinctions because you're dealing with conditioned jivas. If there's no conditioned jivas, there is no manifestations of matter. It doesn't mean that matter doesn't exist. It's just unmanifest. So its manifestation then includes time. Right? And then the conditioning, the living entity, which is made up of the modes of nature and all the elements of it, the manifestation of the variety of atoms. So there's 24 variety of atoms of material energy. Right? Or 23, and then one of them's where they're just homogeneous, where there's no manifestation. Right? Pradhan just means it's there. Mahat then means it's empowered. Then you have all the particular details. Right? So that's always there, but it's always in the form of pradhan. So only when jivas are going to interact, then it's manifest. Then you understand? Then you have the mahat, and then the specifics of the constant, the conditional karma of the living entity. Right? Does that make sense? So we see where the person is and where the manifestation. So material world is called a manifestation of that energy. It's not that's the energy. It's a manifestation of it. Right? Because the Lord and His energy are non-different. So Mahavishnu is there and He expands all the universes. Right? But He's doing that there. But it could be done anywhere, but why would you do it? Because the residents of the spiritual world aren't interested. They have no need. Why would you interact with dead matter, or unconscious matter, when you're going to interact with conscious matter? Does that make sense? You know, so it's superior because the mood is there. Because when there's a common mood, then you become inspired. You can taste. Yeah, you know, it's just like the person can watch the game sitting in the comfort of his living room, right? You know, his couch is there. He can slouch on it all he likes, right? You know, he can push the buttons when the commercial comes. He can get up, go into the kitchen, you know, get the beer from the refrigerator. You know, he's doing fine.
Get an extension cord and pull the fridge. fire so far.
Wow, this is getting advanced. This is getting advanced, right? Okay. A bar fridge. She's already ahead of you. Sorry. You're late on this. It's already, you know. Yeah. You know, it's like this stuff's new for you guys. Like the Aussies is like, they figured that out way back. As soon as they made fridges, they said, hey, where are we going to put the fridge? Right here. You know, so they already worked that out. You know? So then, but you have a stadium where, you know, 20,000, 50,000, 100,000 people can pack into. It doesn't, you're sitting in something that's not very comfortable. Right? You know, the sun's out, the rain comes, the winds, it's hot, it's cold. So it's not going to be as comfortable as your living room. Right? You can't, you see, once somebody, you got to get up and go get it. And it's limited, right? You know, it's only the same, you know, what do you call it? How do you say it? Hot dogs and popcorn and whatever is the other standard fare. And that, so all those things. But why is someone there? The atmospheres, you have 100,000 people that are completely absorbed in, you know, the same stupidness that you are, right? While you're at home, the couch doesn't,
doesn't share
the enthusiasm like that. The remote's not, you know, jumping up and down, you know, and this and that, you know. Even the television couldn't care. Right? You understand? So just that increase in that. So the point is when the mood is favorable, then being in that environment that others have the same mood is there. But here, everything is unconscious. You know what I'm saying? That's why you have to seek out good association here. You know, amongst the unconscious, you have to find that which is conscious. And unfortunately, by consciousness, most fit into dead matter. So it's not easy to find, you know, something truly conscious. Does that make sense? Right? So, therefore, it's not manifest. It's just a matter of the jiva being conditioned. This is manifest. The jiva not being conditioned, that is manifest. Right? So, therefore, the Upanishads have two points. This, matter, and that, spirit. That's the discussion. This, that. It's Upanishadic, right? But now we're taking this and bringing it into the Upanishadic, but in a practical way that you can apply it in your life, which means it's applying, in one sense you could say, like Puranic methodology. Then you have the Gita. So then these two are broken down into the subsections, so you have five, so you can see it very clearly. But here in the discussion, five are still there. But the point is there's this, matter, and that, spirit. So the idea is that you're having problem because you're absorbed in matter, so you absorb yourself in spirit, then there'll be no problem. Right? But our point is, as you are absorbed here as a person, you'll be absorbed there as a person. Right? Well, the Mayavadi says, you're absorbed here as a person, so therefore, and that's material, so therefore being absorbed in spirit means there is no person. So that's just, they don't understand. Because the whole thing is person. This God's a person, this energy's a person. We are people. Right, and the reason that it's the various realms are manifest are the interaction of persons. So it's a complete misnomer that there's such a thing as this impersonal, you know, phenomena, and that's, I mean, manifestation, that's the ultimate reality. No, that's just existence. Right? So the impersonalist, it's Brahman, is, you know, just existence, or the Buddhist, it's the opposite, it's just non-existence. Right? Does that make sense? And the materialist, there's only matter. There is no spirit. Because life comes from matter, the soul comes from matter, consciousness comes from matter. Right? And these other materialists, they also say the same, because having personality and individuality is of the material world. Therefore, the concept of individual soul and consciousness comes from matter. So both schools, the Karmis and the Jnanis, say that matter is the source of life and consciousness. Right? So that's why what we're saying is completely different. Does that make sense? So these others, that's why they're not actually understanding. No. The whole point is consciousness. Right? So material energy is the unconscious aspect of the conscious person who is the complete form of the Lord's energy. Right? And so by the Lord's mercy, then He empowers that aspect to create manifestations that the jiva can interact with, and therefore, feel he's living, a life and experiencing his nature of knowledge and love. Right? But unfortunately, it's, his basis of his knowledge is ignorance, and basis of his love is lust. So there's no satisfaction, because that's not the natural manifestation. Does this make sense? Yeah.
It's a detail, but you talked about it's on the text that for back, the concept of merging to the Brahman, like a myth.
Yeah, merging the Brahman is a myth. Just think about it. It's talked about, right? How many examples are there of people going to the heavenly planets in Shastra?
Many.
Yeah. How many of them going to Vaikuntha? How many of them attaining the, human species or animal species of life? How many went to Brahma? You hear about them there, but actually having gone there, nobody. But there, Brahman realized.
What is the Sayuja liberation that they're talking about? I mean, is it something that happens factually?
But the point is it can happen factually, but it being actual liberation is a myth. Because they'll say Sayuja is eternal, but it's not. It's temporary. The other four, yes. Because they're in relationship to the Lord, so they're eternal. But Sayuja is temporary, so therefore it's not actually, you could say on that level, spiritual, because it's temporary. So therefore it's a myth that it is a spiritual form of liberation.
Yeah, it's technically not really liberation.
It's not actually even liberation, it's a myth that it's there.
Could a soul be for some time in that place?
He can be in that place, but he'll fall again. Therefore, it's not actually liberation.
And also, it's not really that he's merging, he's just situated there.
Yeah, because how do you merge with Brahman as the Lord's effulgence? So that jivas are something else. They're a different potency. Because that is a form of Godhead. But we're a form of energy. So technically, we can float around in Brahman, but we never actually become Brahman. I mean, become that Brahman. We are Brahman, just like spiritual world is Brahman, material world is Brahman, and there's Jiva Brahman. It's all Brahman because it's all Krishna, but there's four categories of this Brahman. Right? So just like we're basically merged in the external Brahman, so we can also be merged in the, Brahman Brahman. Yeah, the green bird. They always use these examples, but it doesn't dawn on them that the green bird and the green tree are still two different things. But they're both green. So yes, the Brahman, the living entity Brahman, absorbs into the supreme Brahman. But there's still a difference between the individual Brahman and supreme Brahman.
Is that example of green bird and green tree a Puranic example, or is it an example that was made up?
I think it's Upanishadic, but it's being used in a different reference. Just like when he said there, Tattvamasi, you are that, then they're meaning you are Brahman. It means there's matter and there's spirit, so you as the soul are spirit, not matter. But that doesn't mean that there's not differentiation between spirit, just like there's differentiation in matter. So that's the point. Is that okay? Okay, at the absence of the jivas, who would have realized the existence of nature? Thus, the awareness of the existence of prakriti is time. Right? In other words, the relationship between the fallen souls and mundane nature is called the phenomenal time. Time, however, does not control the Lord and the liberated jivas. Because this is Mahamaya, so they're not under, right? That's different from the time as manifest in the spiritual world. Right? So that's still under the control of the Lord, but he puts himself under its control for his pastimes. Right? That's Yogamaya. Yeah.
I'm speculating a little bit here, but could we say that jivas who are identifying with material nature, they always have some sort of goal they want to obtain, whatever. And at that exact moment where they get that goal, the prayojana, that moment is actually a temporary liberation for them. That exact moment before it moves back to somebody.
Yeah, but I'm saying liberation can be broadly used as just being relieved from whatever is a difficulty. Because when we talk about sayuja, what's the point?
The point is all your problems are gone.
Yeah, but because you've removed material existence. Right, so you can also be liberated from a hellish situation or like that. So liberation simply means where one is relieved from whatever was causing one's distress. So you could say at that moment there's liberation, but it's small and it's quite temporary.
I'm thinking in preaching context you might.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be the experience gained wouldn't be the happiness of liberation from the material phenomena. That's the difference. So that liberation is different. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say you're liberated from a boring class. You know, the bell rings and then all the kids run out, you know? That's going to be different, let's say, than the guy has been, you know, kept in as a prisoner for the last 8 years and all that, and finally after negotiation, he's liberated from that situation. So even within the mundane, it's, you know... You know what I'm saying? So, but the point is for the situation, the living entity will consider it all in all. But the point is they're all temporary.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're all at some point temporary. So even the merging in Brahman, at some point it reaches that state where it doesn't have any meaning anymore because the liberation, the ananda of Brahman, in this context, only has meaning when you're not in material energy.
So the Brahman liberation actually becomes the prison.
Yes, that's why for the Vaishnavs, it's considered hell.
Yeah.
You know, hell would be better than Brahman, right? Because at least in hell, you can think of the Lord and do all that. It may not be, the situation may not be, you could say, physically or essentially pleasant. You know, like that. But you can think. But the other is, there's nothing there. There's no facility. Where you know what I'm saying? The mind is not there. The intelligence. There's nothing there. So as soon as he wants to use that faculty, he can only think of the material energy. So what will manifest? The material mind. You know what I'm saying? Because as we said, the energy is all pervading. So therefore, the atoms of all this is everywhere. But because he has that need, therefore the material manifests that. So now I have material mind, I think of material things, and so therefore he belongs in the material situation. So instead of being there with all the, you know, unlimited spiritual, you know, and material atoms unmanifest, he'll be placed in the situation where they're manifest. Right? If in the Brahman he'll think of the Lord, then he can go back to Godhead. So it's being explained by, I think, Jiva Goswami, that the demons killed by the Lord because the last thing that they saw was the Lord, when they merge into the Brahman, then when they get bored, they could think of the Lord. And because they thought of the Lord, they would go to the spiritual world. Right? But he doesn't recommend it as a process to go back to Godhead. Because one, you're not sure if you would think of the Lord, because what if you thought of the other mundane, because you are demons, so the mundane pursuits. So that's a more prominent thing. But, of course, you've been purified, right? There's no conditioning. So, but the point is, you know, the nature of the jiva, he can go either way, because you're still in the tatastha position. You're not like iron and fire. Being in the Brahman, you're not iron and fire, technically. It may be lukewarm, but not iron and fire. So you could go either way. So that's already a chance. And then two, to qualify to be killed by the Lord, you have to be the biggest, you know, nastiest, stinkiest demon in the universe. Like anybody else, Maya takes care of herself. Right? And Moshe sure was big. None of the demigods could deal with him. Durga killed him. Right? That's coming up in a couple of days.
You know.
Huh? Moshe Sura. Maybe you know, Mahesh Sura means the buffalo demon. Like when you see Durga and she's stabbing him and he's on a buffalo. Like that. So he came in one day and just, you know, kicked out Indra and sat down on the throne and, you know, that's it. They couldn't get rid of him. So they had to put all the powers into Durga, and then she could kill him. Like that. So it's a big thing. So you know what I'm saying? So that's not a very sure thing either, to be big enough demon to get to that platform, you know what I'm saying? So therefore it's not a recommended.
The endeavor to be that demon would get better results.
Yeah, no, I'm saying you really have to do a lot of work to become such a demon. Right? You know, I'm saying, you know, but you see the biggest demons, and they were all, you know, the devotees playing their part, so they were, you know, it's just like if you have a play, right? The devotees are doing a play. What are the first parts taken? Yeah, everyone wants to be the demon, right? You know, because can always play that very well. Right? I'm just not sure it's not supposed to be at the absence of time, who would have realized the existence of nature? It makes more, but you're taking indirect, you're saying the jivas because of their interaction. So it's prakriti that makes it the awareness, yes. It's another one of those sentences. We've taken it here as it's supposed to be jivas, and then putting the comma after jivas. At the absence of the jivas, who would have realized the existence of nature? Because unless jivas had the material inclination, the pradhan would not be manifest, so that it's seeable. But its manifestation only happens because of time, because it's unconscious, so it doesn't move. So it's only the only way the unconscious matter can manifest is through the time factor, right? And so therefore, that's why things are temporary. It manifests through time, so therefore it dissolves with time. Because if it can manifest, it can dissolve. Right? The jivas are eternal, therefore there's no beginning or end.
And also the word who loses its meaning. If we think the absence of the jiva,
who?
Yeah, but there are no body. The only who's there are.
Are jivas, so yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that word makes no sense, yeah. In the absence of the jiva.
So that's what they figured out. So even on that little thing, that's their jivas. The who's.
The jivas.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Does that mean the jivas are punks?
Jivas are punks. I don't think anybody
in
the esteemed doctor's books are punks, but...
If you're identifying with material nature and some degree you are punk.
Yes, that's true. Yet you're strange, right? You know, you do something that's not a standard social norm. Yeah, no, that's funny. It's not like you take a bird or something like that and it has this little puff of hair on the top, and we'll say it looks good, right? But it's hard to.
That's a bird.
Yeah, it's hard to get. I saw once this billboard. It may have been for Bennington. And it had, because it shows colors, so it has a guy on there. And the way he was posed on that, and had, you know, very, like, I think it was a, you know, some variety of African. But he was probably Ethiopian, so he had the very, you know, fine nose and very big pointed nose. And then he had a nose pin. And just the way the picture and the way it was the spot where on the beak of a bird you have the hole. You know, so just somehow or another it just looked like a bird. You know, so it's...
They're related.
Hmm?
They are related.
Oh, okay. They're related. Okay.
Revealing the connections.
Yes. So what, somehow when the Lord arranges it, then it works out very nicely. When we arrange it, it's not necessarily as aesthetic.
Thus, the awareness of existence of property is time.
Yes.
Does it follow that the passage of time is just awareness of changing property?
Yeah. Because otherwise, without time, you wouldn't notice. Like kids, they don't notice time, but they also don't notice anything else around them, you know. Therefore, they can play a game and run across the furniture, knock over the lamps and do everything. They don't notice it, right? To them, it's just normal. And then till mom walks in, you know, so maybe she brings the time element with her. And then she calls on Father Time because somebody's going to get hurt, right? Yeah.
Time, I remember reading that time is an insentient energy of the Lord.
Insentient energy of the Lord. Time, insentient. Well, time is considered the Lord, and also time is Sudarshan. So the Lord, His energy, but I would say as its interaction, then it would be insentient, like that. But not that the source of that potency of time is, you know, because eventually everything is sentient.
Like Maya and material energy.
Yeah.
She's sentient.
But material energy is not. It's just a portion of her. Yes, the non-sentient manifestation of the Lord's potency.
Now we have time to go to places.
Now we have time to go places.
We have no time to go to place.
Time to go to place. That, but you didn't throw in circumstance.
We discussed time and now we can go to place. What's the next topic?
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Therefore, the idea that time is a major category of existence is rejected by this sutra, right? That's the point of making this, is that he doesn't want to give time too much position in the consciousness. You know, it has its place, but not too much. We want to discuss matter and spirit. That's the actual discussion. Right? It is merely an intermediary who establishes a relationship. So between time, matter and spirit, it's an intermediary.
It makes it sound like a dissimulation of the Shakti.
Could, but I mean, this manifestation is what's connected with that, because you only see it, as he explained before, only in relationship to the jivas, being in material energy. In the spiritual world, it works differently. It doesn't, things don't move, and therefore one is disappointed. It is the, you know, it creates that environment in which, you know, the various tastes of past, present, future can be appreciated. But the actual length doesn't matter. Like the rasa dance went for one night of Brahma. You know, so that's that's, you know, 4,300,000,000 years. So they experienced, for them, it was actually that long, but their experience was because, you know, when you're having a good time. So it just went by quickly. But for everything else around, it was just one of the nights, you know, a regular earthly night in October. Is that or November, depending upon the season.
Sure.
Yeah. Is that? It's not a major category, it's a subcategory. The study of time goes together with the study of another principle called space. This is the topic of the next sutra. Because right? We always have the tendency when we're discussing something, one of the difficulties we run into with using the logic of our brains is time and space. So now when it's defined that this is how time works, and now we'll see how space, then we can see is that trying to understand spirit that's beyond these two, because it's only when the jiva is interacting with material energy that you have these phenomena. Right? Sutta 26. Saiva dishtana rupini desha samgita. The mundane nature constitutes the space which accommodates the mundane living beings. Summary of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's commentary. Matter provides a dwelling place for the conditioned souls. The space, this place is called, quote, the three dimensions of material space. Right here, three dimensions meaning up, down, forward, and backwards, right? You still have ten. But it's just, you know, everything else is a detail. Like even in when Rupa Goswami gives in the yajna, when you're doing one part of the puja, you're worshiping the direction. So go east, and then next to that, then south, then next to that, right? So even there is the four cardinal directions, up and down. So then you could say six, right? So here it's taking you down to three.
So my three would be like the axis of a graph, and this axis, this axis.
Yeah, so it's just that all the directions are basically there. Now, what's in between them, then, you know, and that way you can get a ball, you know, if you want to get to that much detail. An example of material space is given in these words of the Svetasvatara Upanishad 4.6.7. Although the two birds are on the same tree, the eating bird is fully engrossed with anxiety and moroseness as the enjoyer of the fruits of the tree. You know, this is what's so far out is that this is explaining space. You know, we'll just take it. Well, yeah, he's having lunch and the other one is... Like that.
There's a lot of space.
Plenty of space. The tree here is the material dwelling place. So that's the point, is that there is a space for the living entity to sit and enjoy the fruits. So the tree itself is the space, and the tree itself is providing the fruit. So it's providing both. The tree here is the material dwelling place, the body of the conditioned soul. This is the advantage you can see of the Puranas, because they'll give further detail. Well, the Upanishads, you got to work this out yourself. And if you can't, why are you reading the Upanishads, right? You know, it's kind of, does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. It's so compact that one may miss all these things. Many philosophers assert that the element earth is the resting place of the other material elements. This is described in the following words of Mundaka Upanishad 2.1.3. From the Supreme Personality of Godhead are born life, mind, all the senses, ether, air, fire, and water. All these rest on the element earth. But the earth itself is stationed in space. Right? Occupying certain portion of it. Therefore, the space itself is the support of the earth. In fact, space is the first manifestation of the inert nature and the first support of all phenomenal objects. Ultimately, the inert nature and the sentient beings originate from the Supreme Lord. Right? So therefore, he is the support of space. So that's the point. He's beyond space. Time, he's not affected by time. He's beyond time. So we can't, with space and time, understand. Like, we want to know, at what point exactly did we fall and come here? And where exactly is, you know, that's the problem. That's where we have the difficulties. You know, they're not understandable because we're trying to understand them with time and space, which is not going to work. Yes.
Is space and ether the same?
Space and ether are the same. But you're going to have a small... You have the principle of space that just accommodates everything. So you have the all-accommodating potency. But then you have a portion of that is in a certain thing. Right? Under this table, there's a certain amount of space. Right? But it's only a manifestation of a small part of the, you know, unlimited space. Just like, you know, this rock is a small manifestation of the earth atoms. Right? But the earth atoms are, you know, there's unlimited volume of that. Does that make sense?
It's actually you who are limiting it by...
Yes, it's because of our needs, therefore it's, you know, is a rock. Otherwise it would be... Because the point is the soul who has no material need, there is no material manifestation. That's why when you give up the material consciousness, there is no material world. You understand? So you are dealing with the internal potency, yoga maya. But because everybody else is dealing with the external, so she can maintain the two at once, because, you know, the tatastha shakti is also part of herself. So she doesn't have a problem that you're dealing with it, it's spiritual, and the guy next to you is dealing with it, it's material. Right?
Couldn't it also be taken that all the rest of the elements rest on the element earth, that they include in the earth, whereas in ether you don't have the other elements?
No, but each one is coming from the last. So earth is the last manifestation. Though it has the maximum amount of false ego, right? But it's the first element. So when you add false ego again as a catalyst to ether, then air manifests. When you add ego again as a catalyst, then you'll get fire. Add it again, you get water. Add it again, you get earth. So it's the final. Like that. So now, the earth is that manifestation of this energy that we interact with. Right? So then you can say all the other elements are resting on the earth, because on the earth then is all the different manifestations of the elements. You know, of the five elements. Right? And so, therefore, you could say it's the resting place. But he's pointing out that that is resting in space. So actually, the material energy is providing the space for the whole thing. But she's resting on the Supreme Lord.
Would that be an appreciation?
Yes, there. But here, I think he's taking it, you could say that, but I think he's taking it beyond to show that even the matter is resting on spirit. There. I think that would be a detail that if the specific occasion called for it, then yes, you could take it that Ananta is holding everything up. But in this case, when you're taking it like that, he's gravity. Right? But his consort is the all-accommodating potency. So everything is there. So it's his consort, so that means it's him. Right? So here we're looking at energy. So as energy, then it's him. But he holds the planets up. He's gravity. Because he's attraction. Right? Everyone's attracted. Krishna means you all attracted. So if you're attracted, it means you're drawn towards. So gravity means being drawn towards. So he is the cause of gravity. So the gravitational pull is actually Krishna. Is that Yes.
Is there any relationship? You mentioned yesterday about Garbhodakshaya Vishnu being Pradyumna, so there's attraction there, and then you've got the aspect of Ananta also, who's
well, because then here is you always in the past time, then Vasudeva is the you could say the central element, you know. So means as far as pastime goes, then Sankarshan is expanding from Vasudeva, but as far as technical in the tattva, then Vasudeva is expanding from Sankarshan, right? But ultimately Sankarshan's from Vasudeva, because Krishna is first, then Balaram. But after Balaram, all other manifestations technically are Balaram. Right? But because he's the complete personality of Godhead. Right? So then, therefore, it's not, you know, strange that through Sankarshan, then you manifest all the others, because he's the complete personality. So, you know, so it's just to distinguish the different flavors, but technically they're the same person. Or how much we say he's a plenary portion or a portion of a plenary portion. Then we're making the point that only that much of his potency or his personality has to be manifest. You know, just like when the Lord incarnated, you know, in the mosquito species. Right? So he takes the mosquito and he comes and sits on a leaf or something somewhere, and all the demigods take the form of bees and they all buzz around him, and they do that for a few minutes and everybody goes home. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a whole lot of variety in his personality or manifest, but the origin of each species is the Lord. You know, just like Varaha is the origin of the boars and all that. So, you know, I didn't. Yeah, well, actually, they might take it. You think that's why there was that superiority complex? You know, the whole Afrikaan scene and everything. It's considered that they were expanding from the Lord or something. You know, no?
What's in? What's in Afrikaan?
The boars. Doesn't mean it.
I know the boars from Star Trek.
Well, they're just boars.
Boar.
Huh? Okay, then we're not going to drag out the Star Wars nerds in this thing. No, but in episode 37, then. One time there's a whole bunch of them, and that, was it? That Shatner? Is that his name?
Huh?
Yeah, he went to some program and so all these Star Trek nerds were there and saying this and that. Well, what did you mean in this episode when he said this? And he just looked at him and says, get a life. You know, it's like that. You know, we did those shows for entertainment. They weren't like, you know, your lifestyle and all that. Yeah, just said that.
Side questions. Are there species perceived in more or less dimensions?
Do other species perceive in more or less dimensions? No. I mean, there's three directions, right? You know, front and back,
left
to right and up and down. So what are you expecting?
Polish mathematicians, so four dimensions.
Like demigods, for example.
It means you have to remember is we're still having a lot of astrological difficulties due to one Polish intellectual.
But he counted time as a dimension, right?
That means, however they want to put it together, you can put so many things together, it depends upon what you take as common. You know, it's just like saying, you know, you and the bricks are similar because you have some white and some red and a little touch of yellow there with the tealock, and the bricks also have that white and red kind of thing, and depending upon which ones, these not as much so yellow, so I guess you don't match with these bricks as much as some of the others. You know what I'm saying? It's just what the quality they're taking, but there's only those directions. What is different from, because Because now this is the fun part. Are there more than 360 degrees? Since you're saying they're a mathematician. No. So if there's not more than 360, how can you have another dimension? Because up, down, left, right, and forward, backwards do all 360 dimensions. So if you're saying that there's a fourth dimension, then there's something beyond 360 degrees. Did that make sense? Yeah, so they say these things, but who cares? They say there's no God. They say there's no soul.
I've heard.
You have heard, okay.
That Brahma sees 26 dimensions or something.
You have to see is what, because you have a limit of, how you say, wordage in, you know, the non-Vedic vocabularies. You know, so I'm not exactly sure that there's a word for all the things that Brahma does in Polish, right? You know, and that's grammatically more developed than, let's say, English. You know? Does that make sense? So then the difficulty comes is then how are you going to explain it? You have to use some words that have overlap. You know, they have some kind of, like I was just looking at the Diwan, right? So Diwan is someone who is, it means, it can be the central department of administration, the central department of finance, or the prime minister, you know, for an administration like that, right? So it can be either that group or an individual. You know, someone's the Diwan means he's the one that takes care of basically your practical management of, you know, some governance. But it also comes from the word divan, which both of them are Muslim words. Divan is this, like, it's a couch that doesn't have a back. You know, these ones that you see, the long ones, and the ends go up a little bit, you know, like that. So it doesn't have a back. That's a divan. If it has a back, it's a sofa, right? So it's a divan. So now, what's the connection? Because those guys that manage the finances and that, the diwans sit on the divans. So there's a connection between them all. So, does that make some sense? Yeah. So the difficulty is there aren't such connections when it comes to philosophy, you know, religion, and some of these other, you know, finer elements in most languages, so you have to do what you can. So the word overlaps. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, dimension just means a different perspective. So he can see all these perspectives, because he has to. Otherwise, how do you put it together? So unless you see how earth works, or how water works, or fire, and how it's in there, then how are you going to, you know what I'm saying? Well, we just see it all put together. So we just see by the, you know, the classic, just the three dimensions, and that's it. But so here, when they say more dimensions, then that fourth has to be a subdivision of one of the others. You know what I'm saying? You know, just as there's two, matter and spirit. So anything else is a division of those two. You know what I'm saying? So it would be a subdimension. But it's still, you know, so it's still a dimension, but it's a subdimension. So this idea that there's something, because they want to find something beyond that explains all this, and that's God, but they're not willing to accept that, so they try to keep it as something mundane. You know, so it's just another dimension. And the fun part about it is no one else can perceive it, but they, through their mathematics, somehow or another can. But the problem is, it means just said here, is that if there's only 360 degrees, which covers all directions, how can there be something else?
Logically, it can be. Like, you have flat space, it has only 100, it has 180,
yeah. And so you put it up there.
There is up and down, which you cannot see from the flat perspective.
Yeah. But 60 includes everything.
You have on a plane.
Yeah, but I'm saying you take that, put it this way, and go like that, you go around, then you get the complete ball, so there's nothing beyond.
Then comes the fourth dimension, which takes it like...
But then that's outside of that, that means their mathematics can't perceive it. So if they're getting an idea of a fourth dimension through mathematics, then it would not be correct. Because their mathematics, what are they working on? they're working on degrees and angles, right? So that means they only have 360 degrees.
In theory, they can build a light and they can even count it.
In theory, they can do anything. In theory, they're God. In theory, they're going to live eternally. In theory, they're going to work out all the problems of the world and make everybody happy forever. So in theory, there's so many things. The problem is with every theory, there are so many counter theories that show how it absolutely can't work. So it's just a matter of who got their thing in the journal first. That's what, who's reading it? Yes.
Even within the modern academy, there's people who understand that mathematicians are just trying to create new worlds with their theories, mm-hmm. not describing reality.
Yeah, yeah. They're just creating. Because there's this one, I think it was, I'm not sure, Sariputta explains one theory that you have the earth, and then they have a theory that inside the earth, means we're living on, you know, here's the earth this way and mountains are this way, then on the inside of the earth, then there's a whole scene going on and everything like that. And according to their things that show that we're living outside and all that, you can prove that they're living inside. You can't disprove it. It's one of these kind of, you know, stupid things.
I think 95% of the mathematical field is called, they call it virtual mathematics. So the answer is always to have absolutely no application. Because these guys create these things, but it has absolutely no grasp on reality.
Yes, it's just something that, it's the taste of that intellectual through numbers. You know, while someone else is intellectual through letters. You know, or someone else through, you know, some other aspect. So it's just different intellectual pursuits. Okay, so now we... Okay, so here that final point is that Earth is self-stationed in space, only occupying a certain portion of it, right? Space is the support of the Earth, right? And it was the first manifestation, so Earth came from space, right? And ultimately, the inner nature and the sentient beings originate from the Supreme Lord. So even matter and spirit come from the Supreme Lord. So here in spirit, we're meaning beyond matter, because the Lord is even beyond spirit. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaurav.